Our gospel reading this morning is the story from Matthew of the resurrection, the moment of the empty tomb. This is chapter 28. After the Sabbath, as the first day of the week was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descending from heaven came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing white as snow. For fear of him, the guards shook and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid. I know that you are looking for Jesus, who was crucified. He is not here, for he has been raised, as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then going quickly and tell his disciples, he has been raised from the dead, and indeed he is going ahead of you to Galilee, and there you will see him. This is my message for you." And so they left the tomb quickly with fear and great joy and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." And they came to him, took hold of his feet, and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." The Gospel of the Lord. On Easter Sunday, I always want to be as profound as I possibly can, which means impressing everybody. And I know that's impossible. What I will settle for this morning is, if you would allow me, to cut down very quickly to what I believe is the core of this whole story of the resurrection and how it somehow applies to us. Now, during the Lenten season, those of you who were not here, just to catch you up a little bit, we have been using drawings like this from my old collection to move us through a different understanding of ourselves, of God, and of our faith. Because so much of our faith, we live in our heads, and so much of what the reality of God is about is our experience. And for most of us, the experience between us and God is a rare commodity, because to have the experience of God, we have to either completely transform our lifestyle and allow God to be there, or find a way to live every day and recognize that God is already there. That was the goal of this whole Lenten season. And we come to today at the final end, and I want to pull it all together, if I may, for those of you who were here and those of you who weren't, on this very simple line. All of us, from the moment of creation in Genesis to this very day and into eternity, all of us are connected with God. We are never, ever, ever separated from God. Never, ever, ever. In our minds, in our culture, in the way we live, definitely there's a separation. But the reality is, if we at all believe in God, somehow who is responsible for the creative spirit that allows creativity to continue and see the universe continue to expand, even as we speak here this morning, that creative spirit is always, always keeping us connected with God. There is no part of our life that is not connected with God. Now, over the centuries, we've lost touch with that very simple truth. Because, you know, life gets complicated. You got jobs, you got kids, you got school, you got all bills, you got taxes, you got all this other stuff that really makes up life. But here today, let me say to you that I am absolutely positive that nobody is ever disconnected from God, ever. I don't care what you do, what you say, how good you are, how rotten you are. You are connected with God. I can say that because Jesus was a human being who was also already connected with God. Now, what Jesus went through in his life was nothing more, nothing less than what you and I go through. He lived a normal human life. He went through adolescence, God bless him. He went through young adulthood. He went out looking to find what his purpose was. In those days, go into the desert and spend time alone. And he came out of the desert with a purpose, and his purpose seemed to have something to do with the understanding that he already was connected with God. Because what he came out to say transformed the whole world and offers us an insight into who we really are. What he went through in his life, not unlike ourselves, being born into a situation that was very localized, very, I want to say, primitive in a way, very colloquial, kind of very Jewish in his case, and us were Americans, but a culture. And he lived in that culture and came aware of the fact that people had lost touch with the understanding that we are always connected to God. And so he began to preach and to challenge the theories and the theologies and the people of the temple. And he challenged them to go back to the basics, to begin to understand that people are always connected with God. We are never separated from God. And in the process, he went through some very harrowing experiences. He had some joys like we do. I'm sure he had some fulfilling moments when somebody felt better because he was there, or he touched their lives and they changed, or hurts were somehow healed. All the things that you and I experience, you believe? We are all healers in our own way. We touch each other's lives. We make each other's lives better, sometimes because we smile, sometimes because we pay a bit of attention to somebody. But we are ministers of that truth. He also went through some dark periods, and we discussed how the mystics have discovered that dark periods are not the absence of God, but God is the darkness itself. We are never separated from God. Now, we in our darkness, sometimes when life is too challenging, sometimes when it hurts too much, sometimes when we don't know what to do with it, we can't explain it or understand it, we become despairing. Listen to his despair on the cross when he said, "Father, let this pass from me. Why have you abandoned me?" We have all felt abandoned by God. But unfortunately, our understanding of God has always been removed from where we are instead of the very source of our being, ever present. But Jesus, being able to say those words, came to understand that there was something bigger here than just life. And by his dying, he entered into that death place where all of us are going to find ourselves someday, where those we love and those we care about have already gone. We leave this world, we leave everything behind, but we remember, as Jesus found out, we are never, ever, ever separated from God. And so this illustration this morning that you have on the front of your bulletin, I call it the Christ, but I want to call it the Christ ourselves. Because what we have illustrated here, the darkness is a part of the picture, but the darkness is supportive of this person. And this person is transparent. And this person stands above the whole universe, alive to the reality that God is with him, with her. The Christ we worship, the Christ we speak about today, was Jesus returning to his roots, rooted in God, and yet remaining in God with us. Jesus is the personal historical part of God. The Christ is the universal one that covers the universe, that speaks for all of us and all creation of being bound together in God. And so when we look at this, the mystics have said that holiness is best defined when you become like God in this way. When you can see each other and recognize God. When your eyes allow you to look at reality in the world around you and recognize God. When you hear as God hears the cries of the people around us, the joys, the delights, the hurts, and become part of those moments. When we learn and know how to love as God loves, not with all of our qualifications and our conditions, to love as God loves, then we become the Christ. You, all of you, become the Christ. Religion in our head tells us that if we behave a certain way, then we're doing the Christian thing. But that's so disconnected. And you know it's a failure. It's what they call a fool's errand. Go out and live like Christ. Yeah, right. You can do that here and there, but you can't sustain it. This is not about behavior. This is about opening ourselves to a different reality. And the reality is, brothers and sisters, you, all of you sitting here today, whatever your faith may be, whatever your doubts may be, whatever your conditions of life may be, however much you like yourself or don't like yourself, however much baggage you carry, however many hurts you've had in your life, how unforgiving you can possibly be, how judgmental you can possibly be, however you live today, you, all of you, are never, ever separated from God. That doesn't change anything. It doesn't cure what's wrong. It doesn't make what's wrong right. It doesn't make things happen the way we want them to. What it gives you and gives me is an invitation to really begin to understand, not in our heads, but in our being, that we carry God wherever we are. And when we meet each other, we are entertaining God in each other. Easy to say love each other, very different thing to recognize that God's presence is right here before me. How then do I speak? How then do I hear? How then do I understand? How might I see the world differently? Reason will challenge, but I posit that reason has its limitations. The reality is, don't forget this, if this is the last thing I say on this earth, besides to my wife, I love you, and to my family, I cherish you. If it's the last thing I ever say, do not ever forget that you are never, ever, ever, under any circumstances, for any reason, are you ever separated from God. That is our challenge. That is the truth. Happy Easter. Amen.